Thank you for joining with us for this broadcast, and we trust that the Lord will bless us as we meet together around his word. We're reading today from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and we'll begin to read at verse number 38. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and beginning to read at verse number 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. And we'll finish our reading at the end of Luke chapter 10. Before we consider this passage of God's word together, let us all pray and let us seek the Lord together. Our loving Father, we come before thee through the name and merit of our Saviour, through his blood shed for our redemption. We come to ask for thy help and blessing as we consider thy word. We give thanks for the word that you have given to us, that it is pure and powerful and precious, and that it ever points us to our Saviour, the one who is able to meet all of our need. And so we pray that as we consider thy word, that by the Holy Spirit, that it would please thee to reveal thy Son to us, and that we would learn of him and become like him, and that we would find in him all that we need to help us and to guide us in these days. We pray for the cleansing of our sin, and we pray for your enablement in all things to lead us and guide us in our thoughts. These things we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Having the Lord in your home is a great privilege. In these verses that we have read, we read of the Lord Jesus in the home of a lady called Martha. Verse 38 says that the house was in a certain village. And we know from John's Gospel that it was in the village of Bethany. And Bethany was close to Jerusalem, perhaps about 2 miles from the city. Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus were friends of the Lord. They believed on him and they followed him. This family was used in one of the great miracles of the Lord's earthly life, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. The Lord Jesus also visited this family in the days just before his crucifixion. Martha is the one who welcomes the Lord into her house on this particular day, as we read in verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And what is recorded here in these verses in Luke chapter 10 gives us a snapshot of life in this home. There are lessons for us in our homes and in our church life from what is recorded about Martha and Mary, because in so many ways they are just like us. As J.C. Ryle, who was Bishop of Liverpool so long ago, put it, there will be Marthas and there will be Marys in the church until the Lord comes again. And so tonight we'd like to look at these verses and think about the Lord in Martha's home. The Lord in Martha's home. And first of all, we can think about the contrast revealed. The contrast revealed. There's a great contrast in this home between Mary and Martha. We have Mary's stillness. Mary's stillness, verse 39 says, and she had a sister called Mary. Like many siblings, Martha and Mary were very different, but they were united in loving the Lord Jesus and in seeking to serve him. When we read what is recorded about Mary and Martha in John's Gospel, chapters 11 and 12 of John, it appears that Mary was naturally quieter, more reticent, and she acted with deep thought. And in Luke chapter 10, here verse 39, we read of Mary sitting at the Lord's feet and hearing his word. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Sitting at the feet is both a literal description of where she was sitting, and it's also an expression that is used in scripture to describe the pupil receiving instruction from the teacher. And as disciples, like Mary, we are learners. We're always in need to hear the Lord's word and to receive instruction from him. And being in the Lord's presence and hearing his voice, and like Mary did, it reveals our love for him and our dependence upon him. This is something that we can do in public worship, when we read his word, when we hear it preached. It's also something to do at home. There must be times when we can simply be still in the Lord's presence and hear his voice. And as we read God's word, and as we consider what he is saying to us, we must not rush, but we must linger. We must sit at the Lord's feet and learn of him. And Mary gives us an example of what we must all make time to do every day, and that is to be in the Lord's presence, to be still, to be quiet in our hearts and mind, and to receive his word into our souls. And so we have Mary's stillness. And then, by way of contrast, and the contrast is very sharp, we have Martha's activity. Martha's activity, verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. The description of Martha is very vivid. You can see her in your mind flying from pillar to post, carrying the pots and the baskets and the food, and most of all carrying a great burden of stress and strain about how everyone was going to be catered for. And she was completely distracted. And from this passage, and from also what is recorded in John's Gospel, Martha's personality seems to be naturally active, impulsive. Martha was quick to do things and quick to speak out exactly what she thought. And there's some lessons to be drawn from this contrast between Martha and Mary. We should notice that while these sisters were very different personalities, and they were also at different levels of spiritual maturity in their lives with the Lord, yet for all this, they were both loved by the Lord. John chapter 11, verse 5 says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The Lord loves each one of his people with all of our differences of background and of taste and of personality, and even our differences of spiritual maturity. The Lord loves those who are weak in faith just as much as he loves those who have progressed to great heights in their walk with him. And so then we should also love one another, even with all of our differences and our frequent mistakes and failures, as we seek to serve the Lord. And we should also note from this contrast that our sincere desires can sometimes lead us into unproductive activity. Verse 38 shows us that it was Martha who received the Lord into her home. She desired the Lord's presence. She wanted to serve the Lord, but because she became overwhelmed and distracted by what she felt she could do, rather than thinking of what the Lord actually wanted her to do, as she became unproductive in her work. And we don't always have to be active to be serving the Lord. The greatest service we can give to Christ is to sit at his feet. The greatest thing that we can give to him is our yielded hearts, quiet and still and submissive to him. And so we should not always assume that being busy is what the Lord requires of us. And so as we think of the Lord in Martha's home, we have the contrast that is revealed. And then the second thing we can consider is the complaint delivered. The complaint delivered. There is a complaint against the Lord. It is a complaint against the Lord. Sadly, Martha's frustration at being unable to manage all the tasks before her led her to complain against the Lord in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Being overwhelmed, she was right to come to the Lord. And when we are overwhelmed, we should come to the Lord with our burden. But she was wrong to question the Lord's actions and his decisions. And it was a dreadful suggestion to make of the Lord. "Do you not care?" As she was weighed down and worn out, she began to think that the Lord didn't care about her. And it's possible for all of us to reach a point in our Christian experience where we question the Lord. In this case, Mary had misunderstood what the Lord's will was for her, and as a result, she became overburdened with work. She felt all alone, and as a result, she complained as though it was all the Lord's fault. The disciples questioned the Lord Jesus in a very similar way, though in very different circumstances. If you turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, in Mark chapter 4, we read of the disciples traveling with the Lord Jesus by boat. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, it says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." The disciples were in the center of the Lord's will. The Lord was with them in the boat, but they faced a great storm, a storm so fierce that it threatened their very lives. Verse 37, "And there rose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full." And the disciples, they make the same complaint to the Lord that Martha made. "And he was in the hinder part of the ship," verse 38, "asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" "Lord, do you not care?" Of course, on both occasions and in every occasion, the Lord does care. And may we learn the lesson, whatever the cause of our pain and sorrow, whether it is caused by our own mistakes or whether it is caused by a trial that we have obediently entered into in the will of the Lord, whatever the reason for our frustration and fear and anxiety, the Lord does care. "Lord, dost thou not care?" And how grieving must such a question be to the Lord, the one who left heaven, the one who descended from the heights of bliss to be the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief for us, the one who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, the one who set his face with determination to go to Jerusalem to shed his blood and to die in our place. How could we ever question if he cares for us? And yet often we do, if not in words, then in our thoughts. The Lord does care. And even when, like Martha, we come to him with our complaints, he doesn't turn us away, but he teaches us the right response, the way to overcome the problem that is weighing us down. The complaint delivered, it was against the Lord. But the complaint delivered, it was also against her sister. It was against her sister. Verse 40, it says, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Martha complains that Mary is doing nothing to help her, and she asks the Lord to request Mary to assist her with the serving. And our relationship with the Lord is key to our relations with family members and with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Having misunderstood the Lord's purpose for her, Martha then misunderstands what Mary is doing. She accuses Mary of being selfish, perhaps even lazy, and she suggests that Mary has deliberately left her to do all of the work of serving on her own. And how many of our difficulties with one another could be overcome if we earnestly and carefully sought the Lord for a right walk with him and a right understanding of his will for us. Martha's complaint against Mary is no more justified than her complaint against the Lord. And oh, may we be careful in our assessment of others. Those who appear to be doing the most for the Lord may be far from his will, and others who are unnoticed and appear to be doing nothing may be in the centre of the Lord's will for them. And may we also have patience with the Marthas. At times we are all like Martha. We think that we are carrying the greatest burdens and nobody is helping and nobody cares. Martha meant well, and her outburst, it came from frustration and from tiredness. It didn't mean that she didn't love the Lord. It didn't mean that she didn't love her sister Mary. And so may we have sympathy and understanding for those who find themselves in Martha's position and react in a similar manner, perhaps toward us. And so as we think of the Lord in Martha's home, we have the contrast revealed between her and Mary. We have the complaint delivered. And then one final thing, we have the choice commended. The choice commended. The Lord commends Mary's choice. The choice of the one thing needful. The choice of the one thing needful. The Lord, in his perfect wisdom, he deals with Martha's complaint and he identifies her problem, verse 41. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. He uses her name twice. He shows his love for her. He causes her to stop and to listen. And the Lord tells her very directly that she's become too worried, too burdened by too many things. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The Lord says it's not that he doesn't care. It's not that Mary doesn't care. It is that Martha has made the wrong choice. The Lord explains to Martha that all of the activity that has so troubled her was not an absolute necessity, but it was Martha's choice to focus on these things. And the Lord shows this by saying that there's only one great necessity in life, verse 42, but one thing is needful. He says that Mary has chosen the one great necessity, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The Lord says that the one great necessity is the good part. He speaks of Mary's choice to sit at his feet, to listen to his word, to have fellowship with him, to learn of him. This is the one great necessity, to know the Lord, to be saved, to live for him and to love him all of our days. And if you are listening and you're not saved, never trusted the Lord, never repented of your sin, never surrendered your heart to him, this is the one great necessity for you, the one thing that is needful, the one thing that you must have in life is to be saved, to repent of sin, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born again, to live for him and to know him is the one thing that is needful. It is the one thing needful in our lives as Christians, walking with the Lord, obeying him, being like him, giving our time to him, giving all of our love to him. And like Mary, we must consciously choose to give ourselves to the Lord and to fellowship with him, it is a choice. The Lord is not saying that the practical work Martha did would never be necessary or that it was not important. The Lord is not saying that Martha should be left to do all of the domestic work herself, but the Lord is saying that it was not necessary for Martha to focus on the serving at that particular time. The Lord may possibly even have been saying that it wasn't necessary for Martha to go to the lengths that she was going to serve everyone. Perhaps less, perhaps something simpler would have sufficed. Remember, the Lord was in the house teaching. It was a precious time for fellowship. It was not a time to be cumbered about much serving. And of course, there would be time for the serving. The serving is important work, and it should be shared work. The work of the home, just like the work of the church, should not be left to one person entirely. One person may carry a lot of the burden, but that individual should be supported, should be helped by others. But the Lord is teaching here that there is one thing that matters in life. Our relationship with the Lord is the one thing that is needful. And because of that, we must make appropriate choices in life. We must find time for prayer and for Bible reading and for private fellowship with the Lord. We must make time for public worship. Yes, all of the practical matters of our lives, the domestic duties of the home, the needs of employment and business, these must be attended to, but with the understanding that they are not the one thing that is needful. These things are not the purpose of our lives. By having a proper perspective, we keep things in good balance. At the end of our lives, it won't matter if we had the most successful career or the most beautiful home. Not that there's anything wrong with these things in their place, but what matters, the one thing that is needful, is our spiritual lives, our relationship with the Lord. The Lord tells Martha that she should have chosen to set aside the serving for a time, to sit at his feet like Mary. And if Martha had done so, she would have avoided the sadness and frustration that she experienced. And so may we learn this difficult lesson. And it is a difficult lesson of keeping a proper perspective about what is important in life. Life is busy and stressful for many people. And not everyone will be able to give the same amount of time to prayer and Bible reading because of their circumstances. And the amount of time that we are able to give to prayer and to Bible study, it will vary at different stages in our lives. But may we remember the one thing that is needful. And as the Lord enables us, may we give priority to him every day. When we grasp what is the purpose of our life, our relationship with the Lord, we will make the right choices about how to use our time and our energy. And so the choice commended here is the choice of the one thing that is needful. The choice commended by the Lord is a choice that he says is wise. He says it is a wise choice. Mary's choice was wise because he says she had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Our spiritual life with the Lord is something that we cannot lose. We will take it with us into eternity. We will carry with us into glory any spiritual blessings that we gain in this life. The word part in verse 42 is portion. It speaks of our inheritance, that portion that is given to us by God's grace. The same word in a slightly different form is used in Luke chapter 15 and verse 12 by the prodigal son, when he says to his father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And then it says of his father, and he divided unto them his living, his inheritance. And our part, our portion, our inheritance is the Lord himself. And may we choose him, the one who is our portion, not only in life, but in eternity. We read of this over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 73, Psalm 73 and verse 24. Psalm 73, I'm going to read from verse 24 to verse 26. It says, "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion for ever." Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet. She was hearing his word. And what she learned of Christ, she would never lose. It was her inheritance. And we will never lose what we share with the Lord in this life. The love that develops in our hearts for him as we fellowship with him on earth, we will carry that love with us into heaven, where it will be perfected. All that the Lord Jesus does in our hearts as we give ourselves to him is an eternal work that we will never lose. When we enter glory, we will continue in a far greater form the fellowship with the Lord Jesus that we started here on earth. It is that good part, our inheritance, that we will never lose. We will not take our earthly achievements with us to heaven. We will not take the applause of the world for success in earthly things with us into glory. We will not take our houses and our businesses and our jobs with us into paradise, important though these things are in their place. We will only have our Saviour forever and our love for him. And so may we cherish our fellowship with him. May all of our lives be centred on him, because whatever spiritual fellowship we share with him in this life, we will have that eternally, the good part, our inheritance, the Lord himself. And let us learn then from Martha and from Mary. And may we learn every day to choose that good part that will never be taken away from us. "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Amen. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.